Got to laugh together, right? There is a. It is Thanksgiving weekend, and it was just a couple of weeks ago when you all gave us that generous gift for Pastor Appreciation Month, and I expressed my thankfulness for this church body, and I repeat that today. I am so, so thankful. I'm just blown away that this caliber of people has been entrusted to us. It's a real gift. It's very humbling. And we pray that we continue to serve you well. So this morning, first of all, it's very tricky when you're preaching and you're also on the worship team, because everything that gets downloaded during worship, you can't write it down. So you just have to remember and hope that it all lines up and makes sense when it finally comes out. So please bear with me. So this morning, I had to be here for sound check. Josh was hunting with our daughter number 6, Ilana. And so the younger ones were home. And I'm getting ready for church, and it's like 8:15, and I had my son Isaac getting ready to feed our youngest some yogurt, and I'm, you know, getting out the door and making coffee and all that. And so then one of them comes up to me and says, "Mom, we're all ready to go. Why don't we just go with you instead of waiting for another hour before Dad leaves for church?" So I was like, "Yeah, grab your jackets." I had one of the kids start the car, and 15 minutes later, we had not walked out the door. I don't know what happened. It was like they literally were ready to walk out the door to, I don't know where my head is. Like, where's my jacket and where's my other shoe? And I thought then, oh, and now I have to go to the bathroom. And it was just like, I couldn't believe it. And at first, I just, you know what, this is too much. Just stay and wait for Dad. But now they're heartbroken because they wanted to go with Mom. And now I'm saying, you know what, forget it, just stay home. Well, I can't, because then there's tears, and then Josh has to deal with the tears while he's trying to get ready for worship. We finally made it here. But, I mean, needless to say, I was ticked. By the time I was driving down the driveway, there was smoke pouring out of my ears. And I'm like, I have to preach this morning! And I'm so mad! I have to be on the worship team. I have to put a smile on my face. And I don't want to do it. And I'm driving, and the kids are all sitting there like, "We're sorry. We thought we were ready to go." And so I'm driving to church, and I was just like, and I'm breathing. And I finally got to Neighborhood Road. And I just said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And I wasn't even remembering that my sermon was on Thanksgiving. I was so angry. I forgot what I was even talking about. But the only way that I could alleviate what I was experiencing was through thankfulness. Thankfulness. I have 10 children. I have an amazing family. I have an amazing husband. I have an amazing church family. All I could do is be thankful. And, you know, it all just went and lifted. And I got to the church, and I said to my kids, "I'm sorry, because you're so good to me, and you don't deserve the worst of me, you deserve the best of me. So thank you, thank you." And we had a quick moment in the car, and we prayed together, and we just blessed the day, and we thanked God for it, and then we came to the church. And you know, If there is one thing in the little amount of time that I have that I could impart to you, it's that thankfulness is not just an attitude, or it isn't just something that you teach your children. Remember, you have to teach your children to say, "Thank you, say thank you. You get a cookie, what do you say?" It is not a natural human attribute to be thankful. It's not a human attribute to have that measure of humility where you could say thank you for something. It has to be taught. But I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the reason why it says over and over and over, you want to have some fun, look up thankfulness or thanksgiving or anything having to do with giving thanks in the Bible. You will be overwhelmed how much the word has to say about thanksgiving and how important it is. The Father, he goes so far as to say, it should be the first things out of our mouth when we wake up in the morning. Set your heart on thanksgiving. I guarantee it will change your day. Thank God for things you don't even think deserve to be thanked for. So I was blessed to grow up in a believing home, and so did my husband. And there was one thing that was a staple around the elders in our house. They thank God all day. They'd be in the kitchen washing their hands. Thank you, Jesus. It just flowed out of their mouth. There was an essence that they understood this person that they've walked with their entire life and that they were actually pretty close to seeing face to face, that the thankfulness just poured out of them. They'd walk outside, put their jacket on, put their face to the sun. Thank you, Jesus. They just thanked him all day. It's this thing that flowed so naturally through them. And then as I was a young mom and I'm trying to figure out life and I didn't know what in the world I was doing, and my mother-in-law told me, when your little one makes a mess on the floor, thank God for the mess and thank God that you have a little one that makes messes. You know, when you're changing their diaper and their diaper smells so ungodly, you thank God and you kiss their little feet that you have a little one that makes messes and that is stinky sometimes. It changes the atmosphere in your heart and you walk around in a cloud that actually elevates you above some of the stuff that normally would make your feet sticky because you're walking on this yucky earth. The thankfulness in your heart. My favorite psalm is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. It tells us, don't you forget, this is who you are. You were not your own idea. You were God's idea. You were not here by accident. Just a couple of sentences, that's what it tells you. Because then the very next thing is, here's the attitude you make because of that. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Man, five verses, and you've got the ultimate plan for a successful life right there. And you know, the rest of the Bible is good too. Read it. I'm just saying that in five verses, you could not, I don't know that you could get as good a condensed version of who God is. He loved us and put us on this planet, who he is. So this is what you do. And it's talking about the gates and the courts and all of that because the temple was this huge, huge building. I mean, it was like a small town, really, because it housed the priest tribe, the Levites. They lived at the temple. They served continually in the temple. And it basically was a way for an entire nation to flow through and give their sacrifices and do all of that. And so there was elements to the place of the temple, and there was a gate that you walked in. That was the first area where the common people, everyone was welcome through the gate. Everyone. You didn't have to be Jewish. You didn't have to be even circumcised. You foreigners, everybody could walk through that first gate. And it said, you enter that gate with thanksgiving. And then the next thing was the courtyard. Now there was some credentials to get into the courtyard. But either way, You entered into the court with praise. The closer you got to the Holy of Holies, there was an element and an attitude in your heart that had to be in alignment with his Spirit. And so I believe that worship and praise have a very sincere function rather than simply just something that we do before the message. You know, the church was not beginning and thinking, okay, so we get everybody together, you know, because it says don't forsake the gathering of the saints. Paul taught us that. So what do we do? What do we do first? Let's sing. Let's just sing some songs. It actually wasn't their idea. It was God's idea. It was God's plan for his children to come together and to sing songs and spiritual songs together. Now, it's my personal conviction that that function of worship is to affect the soul. Music affects the soul. And everyone has their favorite music. And that favorite song that when it comes on, you just can't not move or smile or whatever. It affects the soul. Now, are there spiritual songs? Yes, absolutely. But the point is that we are three parts. Mind, you know, your soul, your intellect, all that. Body and spirit. Now, the Father says that wherever two on earth agree, there I am in their midst. And I remember our founding pastor, Vaughn, used to say that he wasn't convinced that those, you know, wherever two on earth had to be two individual people. He was convinced that if you could get body, soul, spirit, am I saying it right? To agree, that was the unity that you needed. Even if just two of those could agree, because the spirit always agrees with the spirit. So you need to get your body to obey the spirit. But how do you do that? If the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, the body is weak, it's the soul that commands the body to get into alignment. So if you can get your soul into agreement with your spirit through worship, then that is the agreement that you need for him to be in your midst, and there's not anything he can't do in that place. So we have to get our soul into agreement with our spirit, and the Father says the first thing you have to do that is to be thankful. Be thankful. Some people will even interchange thankful and gratefulness, you know? I mean, what's the worst thing some older person can say about a younger person? They are so ungrateful. That ungrateful, spoiled brat, right? It is like the essence of a young one who's going sour. They're ungrateful. No matter what they're given, they're ungrateful. You know, it's because the balance was never given. You want to make your kids more thankful? Make them work harder. Give them more responsibilities. Praise them for it. What an amazing job. They'll be very thankful to finally hit that pillow at night. They will be very thankful. I'm not saying how to do that. You know, I have my own thoughts. I'm just saying, give them more to do. Because if there isn't the balance of what are you thankful for? You were given nothing in your... You were given nothing that you had to work for. Did I say that right? Thank you. My birthday buddy's here. Hi, Lori. The point is that if you can take that place of thankfulness first and set your heart on things above through thankfulness, there is a dissipation of the heaviness that the world so badly wants to lay on you that you will rise above, because it's an unnatural position. You can take the natural position. Someone's being a jerk to you. Your natural thing is to be mad about it. What if you thank God for them instead? I'm telling you, that person may never change. You will, though. Did you know that you could actually become a pretty amazing person if you just decide you're going to be thankful for everything? And not just thankful for it, but thankful in it. I wasn't thankful for the poop in the diaper. I was thankful for the baby. Right? But if you're thankful for the baby while you're changing the stink, it changes the atmosphere. Suddenly it goes from being something drudgery, something of drudgery, to something that could be really beautiful. And you sing and dance and you laugh together. It changes the atmosphere. It's an amazing thing. And so I'm just going to cram the rest of my stuff into another time. But either way, the thankfulness of this season, I remember when we had to close the church. Something that I did not ever think would happen. Not in America. For any reason. It was so painful. And there was a lot of hours that we spent wondering if we were going to comply with the men on this planet that were saying you were not allowed to gather. And it was a really hard thing. And it was way too many weeks that we had to do that. And we complied. And when we first started gathering again, we were so thankful. And everyone that came was so thankful. It was like this, we could not have appreciated this gathering had it not been that we were forced to not gather. We weren't allowed. But when we finally came back together, there was this rise. I don't know that people felt so thankful to be in this gray room. So thankful. It's elevated our worship. It's elevated the prophetic. It's elevated the caliber of preaching that's coming from this pulpit. That thankfulness has carried us. And I pray it continues to carry us because we don't know what's going to happen next. You have no idea what's going to happen in your life. You can listen to every prophetic word out there. You can read the Bible. You can do everything you want. It's not going to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. But if you're thankful in it, the Father will walk you through and keep you in a place where you're elevated. It will lift your spirit and carry you through. So if we could just stand and pray together. Father, we bring our souls to you, our hearts to you, our minds to you, our emotions. We thank you, Father, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made by you. We thank you for strength. We thank you for the healings in our bodies. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our spouses. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our in-laws and our outlaws. We thank you for every part of the humans that you have put in our lives, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for them when we bless them in your name. Father, we thank you for this week. We thank you for the break in the weather that we've had, Lord, such beautiful sunshine. We thank you for the changing of the seasons. We thank you for this holiday season that we're walking into. We thank you that this holiday season begins with Thanksgiving. We thank you that as we move towards the celebration of the Christ coming to this earth, that you are going to be in the midst of us. You will bring us the wisdom of our words. You will bring us the wisdom of our actions. You will bring us every measure of wisdom and grace that we need to walk through this season. Father, we don't know what's going to happen, but we know that you're walking beside us and that your glory is our rear guard. And we thank you for that. Father, we are so thankful. We are thankful for our salvation. We are thankful for the coming King. We are thankful for our eternal home in heaven. We thank you that we are not citizens on this earth, but we are here to create effectual change for the kingdom because of your namesake. And you chose us, and we thank you that you chose us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Just begin to lift your voice and thank him for everything that's in your life. Father, thank you for the beautiful homes that you've created in this place. Father, thank you for the incredible businesses that you're building in this place. We thank you because they are prospering, Lord God. Just lift your voice. Lift your voice. Thank you. Thank him for your children. Thank you for your in-laws. Thank you for everything, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you are so good. Thank you, Jesus. As the word came this morning of him breathing on you, breathe in that breath of the Holy Spirit and breathe out thankfulness. The word said that is the will of God for you, to be thankful. You fulfill the will of God in your life. Number one, be thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You made a way where there was no way, and you will make a way again. You will part the seas. You will go before us. Thank you. Thank you for it all. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.